A week ago yesterday, the telephone rang in the middle of the afternoon. Marcia answered it. After just a few seconds, there was an exclamation of recognition. And she recognized the voice on the other end of the phone and began to talk with her. It was a young lady she graduated with from high school almost 30 years ago. It turns out she was in Fredericksburg, Texas, along with 14 other of the girls that Marcia graduated from high school with. They were all good friends together. And for the next many minutes, they talked one among the other and talked back and forth to Marcia. And though she hadn't talked to many of those girls in almost 30 years, there was that recognition of friendship and the renewal of relationship through a phone call. Friendship is an interesting thing. That sometimes, though the friendship may change because of location and situation, friendship is something that endures over many, many decades. And you can still have those fond appreciations of people that you've cared so deeply for as friends. An English publication years ago offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. Of those that made the finals and were considered for the finals, here were some of the definitions of the word friend. One said a friend is one who multiplies joys and divides griefs. Another said a friend is one who understands our silence. Another said a friend is a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. But the definition that won the contest and received the cash prize was this one. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Maybe Simon and Garfunkel put it best in their song years ago. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I'll dry them all. I'll take your part. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. I suppose that the time when friends are most appreciated are times of crisis and pain and tragedy. I suppose at the time that friendship is the most helpful and the most encouraging is when you find yourself going through the midst of real, real difficulty. As we come into 2 Samuel 15, we come into the darkest moment of David's life. It's dark because a member of his own family, even his own son, Absalom, has rebelled against him. Over the course of 4 years, Absalom has stolen the heart of the people of Israel. He went to his dad and lied to him. He said, "Dad, I want to go to Hebron and offer sacrifice and fulfill a vow that I had." His dad says, "Go to Hebron." But when he goes to Hebron, he proclaims himself king of all of Israel. When word reached his father David, David said immediately to all of his household, his family, all of his helpers, all of his administrators, "Let's flee at once. For if we don't get out of here now, we will not escape Absalom's sword." And so the king gathers all of his family and all of his helpers and all of his friends, and they start out of the city. The Bible says at verse 17 of 2 Samuel 15, that the king set out with all of the people following him, and they halted at a place some distance away. Some of the versions translate that they stopped at the last house. David is going out the eastern gates of the city. He's going to go down and cross over the brook Kidron and walk up the Mount of Olives and over the summit and head east toward the River Jordan. But the Bible says that he stopped at the last house. And full of emotion, the king looks back at the scenario of what's been a part of his life. He replays in his mind, as it were, the events that had brought him to that very moment of heartbrokenness. He stops at the last house and looks back. You ever been at the last house? You ever been in that situation where you thought that your heart was absolutely going to break and you just stopped at the last house and looked back over the scenario of events as they happened? That's where the king is. And it is the darkest moment of the entirety of his life. And what he needs in that darkest moment is the encouragement that friends can give him. And one by one, as the narrative goes, God sends friends, one after another, to David. The first one that is mentioned in verse 19. Unless you're a very careful student of the Bible, you have no idea who Ittai the Gittite is. Ittai the Gittite had been from the city of Gath, and he had 600 men that were a part of his army. And he had joined David years and years before when David was running from King Saul, even before David became king in Jerusalem. And Ittai had followed David through all of the struggles and all of the wars and all of the conquests. He'd been a friend to David that whole time. And now David stops at the last house and he looks back and he makes his way on out of the city. And the Bible says, here from nowhere shows Ittai the Gittite. The king says, you need to stay with Absalom. You're a foreigner in this land. There's no reason for you to go and be chased about like I'm going to be. Just go back and may grace and peace be with you. It's sort of, you know, you stay where you are and it'll be okay. Listen to Ittai's remark, verse 21. Ittai replied to the king, as surely as the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means life or death, there will your servant be. Sounds sort of like Ruth's pledge to Naomi, doesn't it? You remember what Ruth said to Naomi? Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge, etc. That is exactly what Ittai is saying to King David. Don't try to persuade me to stay here, King David, because wherever you go, I am going with you. If you're going to stay, I'm going to stay. If you're going to go, I'm going to go. You're going to fight, I'm going to fight. If you're going to die, I'm going to die, but I'm going with you because I'm your friend. Maybe you saw the blockbuster movie, Forrest Gump. There were a lot of great lessons in that movie. One of the points of that movie you could not miss was the value of friendship. And Forrest Gump endears himself in a friendship with an old boy from Louisiana whose name was Bubba. And he and Bubba went all the way through boot camp together and they began to dream together. And Bubba wanted to have a whole fleet of shrimp boats back in Louisiana. He starts telling Forrest Gump how many ways shrimp can be fixed. Maybe you remember that part in the movie. Shrimp Creole, boiled shrimp, fried shrimp, shrimp scampi, shrimp. And he went right on through 100 different dishes. Now you can go to the bookstore across the street in the mall or to Bollinger's and you can find the recipe book. It's called Bubba Gump Shrimp Recipe Book. I mean, it came right out of the movie. And they end up in Vietnam in the midst of a jungle in a firefight. And they start running for their lives, and Forrest Gump runs right on out of the jungle and he turns around and realizes Bubba's not with him. And so he turns back and he runs back into the jungle to get Bubba. And he goes back into that jungle in the midst of firefight and there are explosions all over the place. They called in some air support and they're going to arrive any moment. And here comes Forrest Gump running in that jungle hollering, Bubba, Bubba. He finds one wounded American soldier and he picks him up and he carries him out to safety and he puts him down in a clearing. He runs back into the jungle. Bubba, Bubba. He finds another wounded American soldier, picks him up, carries him out, puts him in the clearing, goes back into the jungle after Bubba, finds his lieutenant who's had both legs absolutely almost severed because of the explosion. He carries him out against his protest. He carries him out on his back, but he goes back in after Bubba. And finally he finds Bubba. And he picks Bubba up and puts him on his back and carries him to the clearing and sits him down there and holds him in his arms as Bubba bleeds to death and dies in his arms. And you can't miss the point. That is real friendship. And that's what Ittai the Gittite says to David. It doesn't matter where you go, King David, I'm going with you. And if it means die with you, I'll die with you. But I'm going with you. Folks, that's what real friendship is. And I guess the question this morning is, do you know anybody that you can be an Ittai the Gittite to today? Do you know somebody who's going through the pain of divorce, or the pain of grief, or the pain of betrayal, or the pain of separation, the pain of disappointment? Do you know somebody that you can go to and say to them, no matter where you find yourself, I'm going with you in this thing because I'm going to be your friend? David continues his trek on down across the Brook Kidron and up the Mount of Olives. Two more friends God brings into his life. Verse 24, Zadok and Abiathar. Zadok and Abiathar are priests. They come bringing with them the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if that doesn't touch you to say that's a risky thing to do, you need to go back into chapter 6 and see what happens to people who touch the Ark of the Covenant without God's permission. These two priests have picked up the Ark of the Covenant and have carried it out to David, and they are saying to David, wherever you go, we're going to take the power and the presence of God with you. We have brought the power and presence of God to you, David, and we're going to bring Him wherever we go. Now, David doesn't let them continue. But the risk these two men make to bring the power and the presence of God is a demonstration of friendship even above that of Ittai the Gittite. You know, so many times we try to be a friend to somebody and we tell them things of encouragement and we leave out the most important part. That's the power and presence of God. A couple weeks ago, there were some friends in town from Waco, Texas. We were having them over to eat on that night, Saturday night, and Marcia was cooking a strawberry cake. And the aroma of that cake was filling the whole house. As the oven cooked that cake and the buzzer was set, when the buzzer finally went off, I thought, well, maybe I can talk her into, you know, cutting off the end of it before she ices it or something. And so I go in there about the time the buzzer goes off, and she opens the oven, and she looks in there at that cake, and here's what she said. I can't believe it. I said, what? What? This is a strawberry cake, and I left out the strawberries. And she took the cake out. She walks over to the sink and turns it upside down and empties it into the garbage disposal in the sink as I watched as she did that. She said, you can't have a strawberry cake without strawberries. And she started all over from scratch and put the strawberries in the second time. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we're like that as friends. We go into someone's experience and we go into someone's pain and we go into someone's hurt, and we try to be encouraging to them, and we leave out the most important part, and that is the power and presence of God. We go into a hospital to visit someone and we say, "We're going to be thinking about you. Is there anything I can do?" And we leave without taking their hand and praying for them. We have left out the most important part. We have someone who's going through a difficult time and their heart is breaking, and we go and we put our arm around their shoulder and we weep with them for a while, and we don't take their hand and pray for them and bring the power and presence of God into their lives. We left out the most important part. A friend is one who not only goes with people, they bring the power and the presence of God to them. Is there somebody you need to be a friend to this morning? Is there somebody you need to bring the power and the presence of God into that relationship? David goes on up the Mount of Olives, verse 30. At verse 32, another friend shows. When David arrived at the summit, he now stands on top of the summit of the Mount of Olives. If you ever go to the Bible lands and you stand on the summit of the Mount of Olives, you're looking down on the city of Jerusalem. You can see the entire city sprawled out before you. And that's where David is. And at the summit of the Mount of Olives, the Bible says, here comes another guy, Hushai the Archite. And the Bible describes him as one who has his robe torn, verse 32, and dust on his head. Now, in the ancient world, if you were going to enter another's grief, if you were going to make an announcement to someone, "I'm going to enter into your hurt, I'm going to enter into your grief with you," you'd tear your robe and put dust on your head. You see, Hushai the Archite knows how deeply David is broken inside over what's happened. And Hushai shows up and he tears his robe and he pours dirt on his head to say to the king, "I am going to enter into your hurt with you. I'm going to enter into your brokenness with you." I read this past week about Ann Sullivan. Ann Sullivan, of course, was the great teacher of Helen Keller. Remember that Helen Keller was born, was unable to see or to hear. And into this world of darkness and silence that she lived in, in comes this woman who began to bring news of this outside reality that we know as life into the darkness and the silence of Helen Keller's life. Ann Sullivan patiently, carefully, and lovingly taught Helen Keller everything she knew. For 49 years. Now let that sink in. For 49 years, Ann Sullivan taught Helen Keller. At the end of Ann Sullivan's life, she herself became blind. And now the teacher became student, and the student became teacher. As now Helen Keller tried to teach Ann Sullivan how to cope with her blindness. As Ann Sullivan lay on her deathbed, Helen Keller stood beside her and watched her as she breathed her last. And when it was all over, Helen Keller said about Ann Sullivan, "I pray for the strength to go through the silent darkness of my life until I see her smile on me again." Folks, friendship means you enter into another's hurt. You enter into another's heartbreak and heartache and disappointment and betrayal. It's not enough to say, "I'm going to be with you." But we must go and enter into their heartbreak with them. Was that not what Jesus taught us in John 11? As he watches as Mary and her sister Martha and all of the Jews who were there were weeping over the death of Lazarus. And the Bible says about Jesus, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And the Bible says, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. You know what he was doing? He was entering into their pain with them. And that's why the Hebrews writer can say about him, "We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way as we have, but with us." Is there somebody this morning you need to enter into their pain with them? That's what friendship is. The friendship that endures, the friendship that lasts decades and eternities, is the friendship that says, I'll go with you no matter what. I'm bringing the power and presence of God into this situation, and I am going to enter into the hurt with you. That's what a friend is. And if you were to continue on through the narrative, you'd read about Ziba, and you'd read about over in chapter 17, verses 27 to 29, Shobai and Machir and Barzillai. I mean, men who are just one after another brought to David by God, who came to meet his need, to be his bridge over troubled water. The question is, will you decide this morning to be a bridge over troubled water for somebody? You know, we could spend this whole service saying, thank God if you've got a friend like that. Let's don't be focusing on that so much this morning. Is God, help me to be a friend like that. Remember the old saying, I went out to find some friends, and friends could not be found anywhere. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Is there someone you need to be a friend to? Someone who's hurting? Someone who needs the encouragement and the blessing you can give? Decide today, I'm going to be a friend. Let's pray. Father, we indeed do thank you for the friends you bring into our lives that give us our encouragement when we need it. The friends who will indeed be a bridge over troubled waters for us. But Father, in this moment of silence, we pray you'll help us be a friend like that. A friend that will say to another, I'll go with you no matter where it leads us. A friend who'll bring the power and presence of your Spirit into that relationship. And a friend who will enter into the hurts and the pains and the difficulties of those that we care about. Father, thank you for the friend we have in Jesus. It's in His name we pray. You know, as I thought about all of these different friends and the aspects they brought to David's life, I thought, you know, Jesus fulfills every single aspect of this friendship. Jesus is one who says to us, I'll go with you no matter where it leads. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is one who came to bring us the power and the presence of God in our lives. And Jesus is one who came to enter into our pain with us and experience what we experience that He might save us to the uttermost. We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend indeed. He invites you this morning to be His friend, to receive the friendship He offers us. Would you come and receive it by faith right now while we stand together and sing?
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord.